Afternoon. Anybody awake? I'm going to try to stay awake during mine. I hope you guys can too. Sensor-based variable rate harvest aids. This is some work that we've been doing down at Altus, Oklahoma, in our cotton area for a couple years now, and I want to share those results. Basically, what we've got is we're looking at variable and uniform rate, PGRs, and defoliants. And so we have a 2x2 factorial where we're putting on PGR, variable, and uniform, and then over the top of that, over both of those treatments, we're doing a variable and a uniform defoliant bowl opener. So we had three reps at a couple different places. We had them on plots on a producer's field in 2009, or in 2008 on a producer's field, and then in 2009 we had plots on our research station there at Altus and the producer's field again. Plot width and length varied by location, but in general, we're dealing with field scale plots. They're anywhere from 27 to 60 feet wide is where they were, and at least 1,000 feet long in all the fields we were working on. So they're relatively big plots. Equipment we were using in 2008, the PGR was put on with John Deere 6500, had a 65-foot boom and a mid-tech controller and some variable orifice nozzles to allow us to hit the rates that we wanted. The defoliant in 2008 was put on with kind of a Big John sprayer. It's you can see it's kind of orange, and that roof of that cab's not on there any longer. That's laying somewhere along I-35. We're putting hood pins on the new one that we just bought, so it's not coming up. And I found out that the universal sign for losing your roof going down the interstate is this, as guys were pulling up next to me telling me that it was gone. Anyways, it's got a 30-foot boom, a Raven 440 controller, and a pulse width modulation on it. We used it in 2009 for all of our plots for PGR and the defoliant on both sites. Uniform and variable was all put on with the same rig. Products we're putting on the PGR in both years. We were using Pentia 12 ounces to the acre was kind of that base rate in a 12 gallon per acre mixture. And so we had a tank mix of that, and then we were just varying our carrier rate with that, just mixed with water. Defoliant bowl opener, again, our base rate at 12 gallons to the acre was a pint and a half of finish and 1.1 pints of def. Again, we're tank mixing them, and so as we vary them, they both get varied by the same proportion. And the 12 gallon per acre, again, was our base rate, and that would have got those two products at that. Prescriptions that we were using were developed from some small plot data, relating NDVI to our plant parameters, height to node ratio for our growth regulators, and percent open bowls for and nodes above crack bowl for the defoliant. So we kind of had those prescriptions that we kind of looked at and developed, and then we made field adjustments as necessary when we walked into the field, and it was pretty crude. I'd walk in the field with Shane Osborne or J.C. Banks, and we'd kind of get an NDVI for a certain area and go, I think I'd put on about this much here. And so we kind of made those little crude adjustments to make sure we had a prescription that we were comfortable with. And the prescriptions kind of varied from year to year for a couple of different reasons. So I told you, Mike, you'd see on a slide that you've seen before. This is percent open bowls on the upper right. That's 9 studies over about 3-year period and versus NDVI. Really, we've got kind of one little spot down in here, and this is one site year that's causing this little thing right here. But it doesn't matter how you graph it. You can get this to move over here, but then when you do that, some of this other stuff moves over here. So it's kind of like you can ignore the fact that you have that data, or you can put it all in there and look at it all. The height to node ratio down here, again, versus NDVI, is about 7 different studies over a couple years. You can see the studies are kind of grouped, and so at any given time, there's not much relationship there, but if you put it all together, you get less of a shotgun blast and you get the line to go through it. So these are kind of off of small plot studies that we had. Like I said, the prescriptions that we used were different in the 2 years. I think the big deal is in 2008, our variable rate prescriptions, if we look at this line here, we made the decision in 2008 in the field that here's our uniform rates here, that we would take the areas of the field that had higher NDVIs and we would put more on them. And so consequently, our average rate in our variable treatments was pretty much the same as the uniform rate, because we worked around this this point here. In 2009, we changed that, and we said, no, our maximum rate, if we'd have put 12 gallons, the farmer would have put 12 gallons of the acre on the field, and so that's got to be good enough for the higher vegetative growth areas, and so that's kind of what we're going to stick with. We also changed our PGR prescription a little bit in that we really dropped our PGR rate down really low on by a factor of four lower on the areas where we had lower NDVI. And I think I talked about a little earlier that the slope of this line right here is probably pretty steep for our rate controllers, and but we used that and it tended to work out. Basically just a kind of a plot plan of what we had on the left. It was randomized, replicated. That's a yield map for that field on the right. You can see that certainly the yield varies across the field, independent of our treatments. We've got a little bad spot right here in the middle of the field, a little saline spot kind of in here in some of those areas, and kind of some water issues down here at the bottom. But in general, there was not much relationship to our treatment structure, but there are some differences in yield. If we look at NDVI on the station that we had, our NDVI on our experiment station, these are treatments are running this direction. I would say this is the NDVI at defoliation is what this map is, and we've got a really, really low NDVI right in here when we defoliated it. And I have to confess in full disclosure that the field that's right here that goes in this area right south of this field was defoliated with an airplane that was flying north and south, and about 3-4 weeks before we defoliated our field. And so he got a couple treatments here pretty good for us, and so it did create some variability that probably wouldn't have been there had he not done that. I think the big thing to look at is on this field is you can look at this the NDVI, the mean NDVI at defoliation, and the standard deviations is these are really the CVs are really pretty high when we get to and that's kind of shifted over there. This is the CV for the NDVI at defoliation, relatively high CVs here, but if you look at the CVs on the NDVI when we're putting a PGR on, those are pretty uniform. Those aren't real high CVs that we would see. The coefficients of variation at the other site for both treatments at both times in 2009 when we put them on for the PGR and the defoliant, the CVs were all less than 7.3. And so 7.3 coefficient of variation was the highest that we had on our plots. And so not much variability. The one reason I think that these CVs for the defoliation for this treatment were high here is, again, it was due to weather conditions, was defoliated probably 3 weeks after the other field. And the other field would have been defoliated in I think what we would deem as a timely fashion. And so this cotton had a chance, well, certainly this had a chance to defoliate because it was drifted onto, but the rest of the field as well had a chance to already naturally senesce, and so some of that was already occurring. The stuff that's got the background of orange on it, makes more time. Those are all the uniform the uniform treatments for the PGR, and those are the as applied rates that we have. And so you can see that we put on again 10 gallon to the acre, 10 hit 9.9. So those are what we put on for the PGR. You can see that the PGR as applied is a little bit less, about 0.6 gallon per acre less here, a little bit less here, and kind of the same here. And so we are putting on even with those fields being relatively uniform, we're putting on a little less PGR there. Again, looking at these, the mean values that we applied on the defoliant, this is the first field where we, in 2008, we said we shot at the average on that prescription. And so we actually ended up putting on a little bit more defoliant in 2008 on that producer's field here. But a little bit less on the producer's field in 2009, and quite a bit less on station in 2009, mainly because we're using the same prescription and it's 3 weeks later, and so it's already had a chance to senesce quite a bit. We were doing a relatively good job, I think, of hitting our desired rates. That's simply the prescription rate versus the as applied rate for all of the plots that we had. Again, forced it through zero, so we got, you know, 0.99 of a slope, a 1.03 of a slope. This is one where we used the John Deere sprayer. We were a little bit off on it, mainly because of the controller and just the system that was running on it. All of this is the 2009 data where we ran the same our sprayer with the Raven 440 and the capstan stuff. You see that some of this stuff is really close together, really tight, and that would have been the defoliant on the producer's field, so there wasn't a lot of variability there. But in general, I think we're doing a pretty good job of hitting the rate that we wanted to hit in the field, and that's encouraging. Just in summary, had no significant effect on yield. I didn't talk about the yield data when we went through it. Actually, I had an agronomy friend of mine tell me one time, if there's no significant difference in yield, then you shouldn't be able to show anything but the average value for all the treatments. We had no effect on yield. The 2008 prescriptions needed some refinement, so we did that, mainly because I feel like we should be trying to save product, and I think Owen Gwathney brought that up in a session earlier today. And so we did that, and so our 2009 prescriptions were intended to try to save product while still being effective. So we used those, and we did end up using less product. We did not take any measurements in the field to try to assess or to quantify how good the product was working as far as defoliating and opening bowls and those kinds of things. But in general, the producer that rides the picker, and when we were there picking the other stuff, you could not differentiate treatments, you know, by looking at them in the field, and we really don't have any quality data looking at the different treatments either. So we had a chance. I think we saved a little product. I think we're going to have to look at our biggest opportunity, I think, for saving stuff is going to be in probably some later, at least in southwest Oklahoma for us, is going to be in the later defoliation treatments when you get in and the plants have already had a chance to naturally dry down some. Probably some opportunities in dryland applications where we have a lot different soil types in a field and going to create some differences there. But right now, a lot of our fields are looking somewhat uniform, and I was complaining about that earlier, and somebody told me that most farmers would not complain about uniform fields. But at any rate, that's what I have, and I think I might have some time for some questions. Yes, if anybody's got any. Yeah.
How much potential dollars per acre do you think you could save with this change?
The question was, how many dollars per acre do I think I could save? To be honest with you, I don't know what those products cost, and it kind of depends. You know, we're not. I don't think that if we're defoliating when the producer wanted us to on his field and when we got there right when he was there, I don't think we saved that much on the defoliant. I'll be honest with you. The first time I went to Altus and talked to those guys about precision ag stuff after dealing with corn and beans in Kansas for a long time, you know, I said, how much does your, you know, we're talking about variable rate PGRs. I said, how much does it cost? And they were $3-4. And I was like, all right, what else do we have? And so I think that there's a chance to save some money with some defoliants. And as we talked earlier on some of the nitrogen stuff, if we can get some stuff figured out there, I don't think we've got it figured out yet in Oklahoma, but if we can get some things figured out there, then you got a chance to use that sensor system over more things, over more crops. But I couldn't tell you. We'll have our economists look at some numbers on it, but I'm not an economist. Yes?
I've got a quick follow-up on that. Was it able to tell you to put out more defoliant where you had rain plants like on the tailwater end, or was this on the drip?
This was furrow irrigated, and so and actually the year that we had the prescription where we had where we would have put out more defoliant, it was putting out more in areas. So we were doing that, but the tailwater end of the field was actually ponding, and it was causing it to be lower yielding. And he fixed that, in the 2009 year. And actually, it's pretty good cotton there. But we did put out more in that year, and we're going to go back. We got some Verus data as an underlayer for that, so we're going to go back and look at some of that. But in general, if you look at it, we're not saving a lot of product. Some. But I don't know if we're saving enough on the two fields we've been on to pay for the sensors. But I'll let our economists water all that out. Anything else? Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.